Welcome to this week's episode of Live Transformed. Jim, Audrey, it's good to be together again.
Yes, it is, always.
I really, really enjoy coming. Yeah, I mean, again, we welcome all of you, our listeners, into the conversation.
Yes.
We've already started. We've had some good laughs. And now it's time to get down to business.
Yes. And we are so grateful that you are ready to take this journey of the heart.
It is.
And I was ready for this next phase of this, Jim. You know, with Heart Physics weekend coming up in the middle of October, that is booked off as one of our favorite things that happens in the year.
Right.
Because it is that life transformational, just that when you go to an event like that you're having with Heart Physics, what it does is just establishes it, but it gives you with common people that are all on the same journey, and just that camaraderie and that feeling of being with like-minded people is so amazing. And I feel like that's how we are in this podcast, you guys. The fact that you're listening, we are all like-minded in the fact that we really want everything that God has for us.
Absolutely. People have gotten mad at me saying this. You know, I've told the story, and you know, we've talked about this several times, about how when Brenda and I had not been married very long, you know, we repented for being broke.
Yes, and I remember that story.
And I've had people get really upset, and they're saying, "So you're saying that I was in sin if I was broke?" I'm like, no, I'm saying that sin is not what you do wrong. Sin is anything that where you fall short of who you are and what you have in Jesus. It's not really about what you do wrong. It's about what you're missing out on in your life. And, you know, as an early believer, I can remember, and, you know, coming to this realization, I came to this realization very soon after I got saved. Now, walking that out took about a decade, you know, just kind of getting it to be a reality in my heart instead of my mind. But I can remember thinking, I don't have any right to have any part of what Jesus did through the cross not working in my life. I don't have that right. That's not even a choice. That's not even an option. And I realized that doesn't mean I beat myself up if it's not working. It just means I don't accept it.
Right.
I know I'm still loved. I know nothing has changed between me and God. It doesn't hurt my self-worth because my self-worth is about my relationship. You know, I'm a son, but I'm not an employee. And so I'm not trying to meet a production goal here. So my self-worth stays intact. But I can honestly remember, you know, as a new believer, sometimes thinking, you know, I'd have some kind of temptation. It's like, I remember thinking, I don't even have the right to have this temptation. I don't even have the right to feel this way. I don't even have the right to have this opinion.
Right.
Now, like I say, knowing that mentally and coming to the place to where you know how to actually be empowered for that is a journey.
It really is. It's so interesting that you say that because just this last week, Bob and I were talking about, you know how in the olden days, Bob loves when I say olden days, but back when I was a kid, our televisions had these big knobs with numbers on them and they'd go big click, 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 click. And there was only three that worked and they kind of worked medium. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have to adjust the antenna. So that's the picture. So I have a real understanding when someone says to change the channel in what are you listening to in your head, in your thoughts all the time?
Yep.
What channel have you got it tuned to? And I know you've probably heard concepts like this, but it did hit me in a deeper way this week because I realized that if I really thought about, took every thought captive, I thought, I have been listening to a channel, and I went back to a channel called Fear of Failure or Fear of the Future. Those are the two that kind of get to me sometimes. They're my weak link when pressure is on. And I had to take captive and I went, wait a minute, you know, I can repent for listening to that channel because that is not who I really am in Jesus. And that is not according to his promises.
Nope.
So that's a repent situation. Like that's changing the way I think. That's, I am falling short of the fact that Jesus has got me. Like this, you know, I do not have to fail. I do not have to fear the future. And so I turned the channel back to Holy Spirit, Heaven on Earth channel. And it's like, I am just going to keep it very consciously on that channel. That's the flow that's coming into my mind all day long. Well, and
I'm sure you remember too, like on those old televisions, or like Hoochie loves it when we talk about identity, see? So, But you know how you do this on television. But I tell you, I used to see this a lot. You remember, 20 years ago when radio stations were not digital.
Yeah.
And you'd be on the road, and you would start losing. You're driving, and you know how it is. Y'all used to drive. We used to drive everywhere. Yeah. Brenda and I drove all over the country.
I love it.
And so you get a good channel that you like, and it's keeping you awake. It's the middle of the night.
Yes.
And so you're just you're in the you're grooving with this.
Yes. Yes.
And you're singing along to keep yourself awake. And but then you start. Every time you go down a little valley or something.
That's right.
You lose that signal, and the next closest station would fade in.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's
kind of not as good. It was not as good.
Oh, never, never.
Never.
That's the same concept in that.
Yes.
In that being tuned in isn't like a one-dimensional thing.
No.
Because it can fade in, it can overlap, and it would do it on television every now and then when you turn your antenna a little bit because you sort of have two pictures
trying
to show.
You get it, both of them at this they overlap each other just a little bit, yes.
And that's sort of the way we are in our life. But here's one of the great tragedies to me. Almost all of the words in the Bible that have to do with transformation have all been religiously twisted to mean something negative. Just like sin is, you did something bad,
Right.
No, sin is just like, sin is like saying, okay, I'm trying to get healed, but I'm not getting healed.
Right.
And if you say the words, sin is one of those words that's so strong. If you even say that word, you can't even talk around it hardly to get people to get a biblical definition, because all sin is any concept of God, any concept of who I am that is less, and that misses the mark of the glory of God, that misses the mark of the view, the opinion, the reality of God. It's not even about whether you're doing something wrong or not.
Isn't it interesting that we go to that? That's the first thing we go to.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Bob was quoting a scripture. We were doing our All About Relationships podcast, and we were recording, and he came out with Proverbs 18:21, because we were talking about the amazing power of words in our relationships. It's like we are literally, we want to talk higher than we're thinking almost. Like we want our words to be that powerful. And so he pulled out Proverbs 18:21 and says, your words are so powerful that they'll kill or give life, and a talkative person will reap the consequences.
Yep.
And I thought, the immediately thing I thought was, I'm a talkative person, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, now I'm going to reap the consequences.
Yeah.
In other words, the first thing I went to was consequences are bad, but they're not.
They could be good or bad.
They could be good or bad. But it's funny, as humans, I went immediately to, I guess I'm bad.
She looked at me like, you judging me?
Are you judging me for
and
being
I'm
talkative?
Like, no, I mean, you're going to reap life.
Because I'm speaking a lot of great words.
I really wish I'd been there for that conversation, because I'm sure I could have tormented you for at least 20 minutes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You could have been this little guest on our podcast going, it's me, Jim Richards. It's true. You do talk too much.
Just like, when Proverbs talks about words, it says life and death is in the tongue. But remember,
it
says that life and death is in your choices. Everything that exists can be used for life and death. There's nothing inherently evil. Beyond, or what makes it evil or not evil, is what's in your heart.
Yes.
There we go.
My new book is out. I'm telling you what, I am so happy with this book.
Oh, Jim, I'm so glad you've got this done.
I believe if everybody will get this and send a link to everybody they know.
And it's a free book.
It's a free ebook. And so, I started out was going to be a booklet. It's a small book. I didn't want to make it too long, but I just kept thinking, I can't make this too bare bones, because I want to make sure that people get this.
Right.
But it's really interesting. In one of the chapters, I don't remember the name of this particular chapter, but one of the chapters I was talking about the fact that, in socialism, of course, the ultimate, it doesn't matter if it's socialism, humanism, it doesn't matter what it is, anything that departs from the lordship of Jesus and God's word as the absolute is always getting us into that realm of we will be our own gods and we will choose good and evil for ourselves.
Right, yes.
And so, it's kind of interesting. Right now, with what's happening in America, in all of the world, you know, communities, cities, lives, businesses are absolutely being destroyed. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is so much of this is being done in the name of racism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus said, and I break this down pretty clearly, Jesus talking about what he calls the beginning of sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the word sorrows means birth pains. Mm. Kind of interesting. In other words, the beginning of sorrows, there's going to be this time of trouble that's just like birth pains, that this trouble is here to give birth to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this trouble is being used to give birth to a totally lawless society.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Jesus said that this period of time that he calls the beginning of sorrows, he says, you know, the key factor that you got to do, that you got to hold on to here to not let your heart be troubled, is to realize that almost all of this is deceit. It's not real.
Mm.
You know, just like COVID is an actual disease, but none of the propaganda around COVID,
right,
and none of the extreme measures that are being taken are real. That's all deceit and manipulation.
Yes, yes.
Well, it just, okay, so you talk about racism. Let me say this. The problem with racism is really this. It is not about the color of people's skins. It's about culture.
Yeah.
It's about people being committed to their cultural way of doing, saying, expressing things. And it's the culture, truth of it, it's the culture where people conflict. It's not, I know there's white people out there that hate blacks. I know there's black people out there that hate whites. But you know what? I can't, in the last 40 years, remember encountering in the black community or the white community an actual racist.
Right.
But all of my friends would say, but yeah, there are certain things I kind of feel uncertain about. Well, those are cultural things.
Mm.
But so Jesus says, you got to realize when nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom, you got to realize this is all deceit. And it's designed to give birth to something. And that birth is the new world, what we call the new world order, a lawless, godless society. But the words nation, which says nation shall rise against nation, that is ethnos. And he's talking about ethnic warfare.
Yes.
Now, so stop and think about it. Here is the big thing that's being said out there in the world, and that's causing all this. And let me say this. I got to tell you this. I got thousands of black friends,
mm-hmm,
and I know black ministers all over the world. And I just want you to know that the black people that I know, the black ministers that I know, the black friends that I have, none of them are taking this radical position that, mm-hmm, that BLM is taking,
right,
and that,
right,
Antifa is taking and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because all of that is deceit. Mm-hmm. Yes, there may be real problems. So you never deny that there's real problems.
Right.
But Jesus said, what's going to give birth to the new world order, this age of lawlessness, is going to be the deceit, the propaganda, the magnification of this. So anyhow, the propaganda that is out is that if you are white, you are racist. Now, stop and think about how ludicrous that is. So then does that mean that if you're black, then I can stereotype you and say, but if you're black, you're this, or if you're Native American, you're this, or you know, whatever. I can say if you're a Canadian, you're freezing to death, probably. I can't make any moral or ethical judgments.
Right.
Now,
right.
So stop and think. And this is how far the church. So there's churches, pastors, and both the black and white community getting behind this. And that's right, man. We got to solve this big racist problem because white people are racist. Well, wait a minute. No, the Bible says that what is causing you to lie, to steal, to murder, you know, to do all these horrible things, is what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So are you telling me that genetically, if I'm white, I'm a racist? It's a genetic thing. Are you telling me that black crime, or that crime, black-on-black crime in the black community, are you saying that's genetic? In other words, we reject the word of God because the word of God, and this book is really written for believers who are getting sucked into this.
Right.
But the word of God says, no, anything that's happening in your life, good or bad, is going to be the result of what's in your heart. So the church, of course, the church don't even know you got a heart other than the, you know, the physical heart that's beating
in your chest.
I mean, the whole idea of the heart has been abandoned by the church ever since Catholicism, because Catholicism was not designed to convert
connect
people
with God
and bring
or
them
to
in touch
really
with God.
Connect with God.
Yeah, it was about converting to a church, to a denomination.
Right.
So, but all of that rant to say, people are trying to solve problems in their family. They're trying to solve problems in their personal life, their temptations, their struggles, their finances. Yeah. People are trying to solve global problems, national problems, racial problems, and not considering that unless you change the heart, at best, you might temporarily change the behavior, and that's it.
Say that last thing one more time. Because I was following with you all the way.
So the church.
And you were saying it so well. Like, honestly, I'm really catching
this. The government, the church. I mean, all of these places that say they're trying to help everyone. And what aggravates me is the ones who are standing up in the name of Jesus, enabling and supporting the evil that's going on, the rioting, the violence. But anyhow, all of these groups are trying to say, we're going to solve these monumental problems, but we're going to ignore the one and only solution, and that is until you individuals deal with what is in their heart. At best, you might get temporary behavior modification.
Okay, now I totally caught it. Yep. Thank you. You have to kind of give me a couple times sometimes.
No, I mean, that was kind of a long, complex sentence.
Yeah. No, but now I get it. Because sometimes we think we've got to solve all these monumental problems, but we're not dealing with our own heart of what's happening in our own heart, our own connection. And that really resonates with me, Jim, because I feel like that's my calling right this minute in the times I'm living in, is that I am called to walk with Jesus every day and be very connected to him in my heart. And this week, I need to change the channel where I've been listening, because I really want heaven on earth to be all that hope coming into me every day. I want hope to be the channel where I am speaking life and using my words to speak life everywhere I go. That's what I'm called to do. That is a monumental thing that I get to do.
And that's where I started on the whole rant. This whole thing is like, okay, you know, words can bring life, they can bring death. And they do so based on what's in your heart.
There you go. I think we said it.
Amen. Let's take the offering now. Come on, y'all. Come on. I got the anointing for a hundredfold return.
No, that was really well communicated.
If you send me an offering today, I'm going to pray over a lucky coin that you can put in your foot. And every time you take a step and touch your foot down on that lucky coin, you're going to be able to declare that everywhere I set my foot is blessed, and God will bless you because you have got a lucky coin in your shoe. Now, actually, I heard that from a preacher, late night radio, driving through the country one time.
When you were talking about that whole radio thing, I mean, our kids and grandkids that I'm going to have one day will never know what it feels like to not, when you, music is so precious, because if you don't have it at your fingertips on your phone, every song you've ever wanted, you have to dream and hope that it'll come on the radio. And when you get a good station, like you're talking, when you're driving and it's like all your favorite music, and we would be driving from state to state middle of the night, and I was going, oh, please God, help this station to last for at least an hour or maybe even 2 hours, because it is just the best. Like, that's how passionate I want to be about my channel of hope in heaven that I want to listen to all the time. Like, I want to have it on that station, that's the download I'm getting all the time, all day long.
Absolutely.
Okay, Bob.
No, I mean, you guys are really having a lot of fun. Jim had a good sleep last night.
No, I didn't. No, I wish I had a good sleep.
You're going to have a good sleep tonight.
Okay, so
I got to have a good sleep tonight. So it don't matter.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes. That's right. That's the choice, right?
So our words.
Yes.
out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
The words, you know, flowing, you know, for me, not so easily this morning. but again, out of our heart, because what we want to do is we typically want to legislate morality.
Yeah.
And not, again, as you're saying, is it then just me or I'm sorry, I am really fighting my thoughts. My tongue is really twisted.
I'm going to take a short nap. When he finishes,
when I finish my statement here.
You wake me up and explain this to me. Translate this to redneck for me, okay?
Yeah. My channels are kind of fading in and out.
You are glowing red.
They're overlapping.
Your head is glowing red right now. What is happening?
Oh, people. It's called the glory of God.
That's what it is.
It's the glory.
It's the Shandai Momo glory.
I've been noticing there's a lucky coin in every one of his shoes, and since then he just can't even talk.
Now I've been found out.
Yeah, he's been using the lucky coin for sure. For sure.
Okay. Well, you know what? No, I get what. Actually, I do get what you're saying.
Yes. Oh my goodness! Okay,
Bob.
Okay. I got those diamonds spiritual in my
now.
Shoes.
Come on!
Oh yeah. My goodness! But I do want to notice. I have to notice because, again, what I'm not noticing, I cannot change, and so it's important.
Yes.
To be able to articulate the lie that you're believing.
Yes.
Because I got to put that thing off.
Yeah.
Okay, not only am I going to put it off, but then what will I put on?
Right.
And I can and I choose to take responsibility for what's going on in my heart.
And what channel you're listening to.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, again, as you mentioned, Jim, with regards to modification's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Because some people are just playing cruel and mean and full of hate. And it's just like, that's got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't legislate morality. And so there has to come this transformation of my heart to where it's not just what I desire or want, but more it's who I am.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when it is, then it becomes effortless. And I don't have to, you know, stress so hard in trying to sustain it.
You know, we've talked in the past about, you know, root and branch and fruit and, and Jesus talked about, you know, when you plant something in your heart first, you know, first the stalk grows up, and, you know, then the branches grow, and then the leaves, and then the fruit. And so, you know, one of the things I find so interesting and gracious about God and the way that he created us is that... You know, truth is absolute, but because we all are where we are in our personal lives, our journey to and some of the tools, it's like there's not just one tool, one way,
right,
one formula, one process to work this stuff through.
Right.
There's one goal. There's one truth.
Yeah.
There's one, you know.
But there's a million ways.
Yeah.
There's one goal, but a million ways.
So,
kind of.
You know, one of the things I want everybody to think about. Everything in the world, whether it's just what's happening to you or what's happening in the world around you, every circumstance of life is actually just a fruit. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Yeah.
If it's a fruit, then it means that it is something that is growing, i.e. manifesting, based on what's in your heart or somebody else's heart. So... We try to fix things from the fruit level, which means if you never lay the axe to the root, like the Bible says, then the fruit just keeps coming back.
And multiplying, because when you pick fruit, it just keeps more, it becomes more fruitful.
Right. Yeah. You plant one apple seed and it grows a tree. It's got 1,000 apples on it. And every one of those apples has got how many seeds in it?
Right.
So it doesn't just keep growing, but it just keeps multiplying.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, on a multi-dimensional level here, the Bible does say that law is for the lawless. So the civil law in God's word is there to create a fair and just and safe world for the innocent by outwardly correcting, controlling, and so forth
the
of
fruit.
People who yes. are lawless, who would hurt other people, who would take advantage right. of other people. But that's not the solution for the individual. The solution for the individual is not being governed externally, is by who you are in your heart, because your heart yes. will guide you, regardless of what your intentions are, regardless of what your thoughts are, regardless of what your plans are. At the end of the day, you will go in a direction and reach a destination that fulfills who you believe you are.
Wow.
Now, we can make this incredibly complicated. we can get a right biblical basis, and we can develop a lot of tools. We can have a lot of warning systems in here. But at the end of the day, it still comes back to who am I in my heart? Now, you remember how I've talked about the book that I outlined years ago. I never published it. I may yet publish it if Jesus tarries long enough. But it's called Measurements of Maturity. How do you really understand if you're on track?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, anything out here is really just the fruit of whatever is going on in here. Mm-hmm. So fruit tells me if the root that's in the soil of my heart, the seed that's being planted in the soil of my heart, what's happening out here tells me if I'm planting the right kind of seed in my heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, at the most fundamental level, the ultimate measurement of maturity, the most fundamental, I mean, we know as far as behaviorally, it's going to be walking in love. We know that mm-hmm. behavior. But inwardly, it is whether or not I'm actually maturing is all really about one thing, and that is how am I growing into my true identity in Jesus. So it's about identity. Who am I?
Yeah.
Now, again, man, this can really get kind of complex because everything has a million different little complexities to it, but you got to bring it down to some of the simplest, most basic ways.
The simplest form.
Ways.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes.
So if I look out here at my life, And I got a lot of conflict with people. Well, the tendency is to blame it on everybody else. Well, no, I'm the common denominator. If I got a lot of conflict with people, then there's something about how I perceive myself. You can get counseling about being less argumentative. I mean, you can get coaching mm-hmm. about some behavioral things, and all that's good. But at the end of the day, anything that you change about your behavior that doesn't start in the heart means you have to constantly be putting forth effort and catching yourself mm-hmm. and monitoring mm-hmm. yourself. And it really kind of just drives you crazy
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those things where it's like taking care of one of a 2-year-old. It's like the minute you take your eyes off of them, they run. You know what I mean? They go get into something. And that's kind of the way our behavior is, manage it. And then just try to breathe for a minute, and suddenly you realize, bang, how did I get here? I'm in a bar drinking with a hooker. It's like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Well, so, and I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong, but I am saying that's the long version. And if that's the best you can do, do it. But that's the long version.
Yes.
So then the next question people ask, it's like, okay, identity. Well, wait a minute. I'm not even sure I understand this concept of identity. Now, in Proverbs 23, and this is a scripture, man, that this is one of the early scriptures that that God began to teach me about what the heart is and kind of the functions of the heart. And so in Proverbs 23, I'm not quoting it exactly, but it talks about you go in and you see this guy, and man, he's got all, you know, he's got a big meal there and he's wealthy and he's got all these dainties, I think is what the King James calls them. And it says, don't eat that stuff. Don't take any of that stuff. Put a knife to your throat.
Whoa.
Because it says, because this guy is not who he, or let me put it this way. You can't know this guy and who he is by what he's presenting externally, because it says, as he believes in his heart, so is he. So, you know, you have this interesting warning. Well, here's what, let me just read this. This is so, I'm trying to go back and see. It's, listen to this. I love this. He says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what's before you and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. In other words, if you are easily seduced by people, you know, trying to offer you good things, he says, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. So outward behavior can be deceptive food.
Yes.
And so then he goes on and says, don't overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Stop. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they can just fly away like an eagle. Don't eat the bread of a miser. Don't desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And the morsel that you have eaten, you'll vomit up and waste your pleasant words. And it just goes on about being in these relationships with people where you are being drawn in by the deceitfulness of delicacies, deceitfulness of compliments, deceitfulness of all this kind of stuff. He says, because this guy is not what you see on the outside.
Right.
This
right.
guy is who he is on the inside.
Yeah, what he's presenting externally is what you had said. It doesn't not necessarily reveal what's in his heart.
Yeah. So you say, okay, well then you know, I can't know who anybody else is, but how can I really know who I am?
Right. That is the most important question.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, you can look at circumstances and you can understand that when you're always in certain kind of problems, then all right. Then you got some kind of belief issue you need to deal with. Matter of fact, I always take the position anything that's repetitive in your life, is probably related to a belief.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And you know, for me, and it gets kind of complicated because you're like, for me, you know, when you've gone through as many tragedies as I have, physical tragedies, then you have real physical problems. But how those physical problems play out and how you manage them are really based on what's in your heart.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I've told you, for years, I was like, I had an excuse. It's like, look, I was born with a kidney disease. I didn't do this. I didn't do anything to get this.
Right.
Well, so I had an excuse, but that excuse did was make me tolerate the repetitive health problems that I had.
It's like it gave you evidence that this is yours. It's almost like it is mine. I have evidence. I didn't even ever have a choice. Yeah. All these things that that we gather up to affirm our own beliefs. And as you say, and yet it's limiting your life because it's, you know.
But see, part of what I had to deal with was that very thing that we talked about earlier, where there was some point in time where I said, well, wait a minute. If Jesus bore this sickness on the cross, I don't really have the right to be sick. That's really not my option. That's not my choice. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm going to be who I am in Jesus, then everything that he bore for me on the cross, I don't have the right to carry that around. Poverty, bad attitude, sin, you know, anger, hatred. Anyway, I don't have the right to carry that around because he took it. And what I have, not only what I have the right, but the responsibility to choose and to pursue is what he obtained through the resurrection life.
Yes. And that is, Bob and I heard the term this weekend, and that makes me a cheerful decider, because there's something about that cheerfulness that brings a lot of hope and power and energy and fuel to your decision. Like, it's one thing to make a decision, but then to make it cheerfully and to make it with joy and start bringing that hope channel, you know, flowing in through you, then I'm a cheerful decider. I'm not just a decider. I'm actually a cheerful decider.
Absolutely. That's way better than any other kind of decider you can be.
Right. Like, why not be?
It's better than an apple cider. It's better than it's decider. You got to be a decider.
A cheerful decider.
That's right. So, sometimes kind of getting hold of truth is, we're trying to grab hold of a reality that there are no exact words to explain. You know, I was talking with a friend today, and it's like, look, and a good friend, I'm not being critical, but he was telling me, he said, well, the reason I never really set any life goals is because I was going through all of this. I'm like, that ain't true.
I didn't hear you. What was
he
that?
He said, the reason I never, set life goals is because I was always going through all these crises.
I couldn't set life goals.
You know,
okay.
So I was always trying to deal with, what's right in front of me.
Yeah.
I said, that's not true.
Yeah.
I said, that was your excuse to not set goals. I said,
But he was being completely reactive rather than proactive.
Oh, yeah. And so, and that's what we do. We look around our life and we find excuses to create a life that lines up really with who we believe we are.
Yeah.
And now, that's all on a very subconscious level, but it still is happening.
Yes.
So the thing is, our heart is always taking us on a journey to reach a destination that confirms the identity. Because remember, your heart is about identity and your mind is about ego.
So our heart is taking us on a journey to affirm that what we believe in our heart about us is true.
Yep. It really doesn't matter what you think you're pursuing. Your mind, your mind, your brain will say, well, this is what we're going to do. But really your heart's saying, you go ahead and think that. You go ahead and think that while we go over here. Now, your heart is about beliefs. Your mind is about thoughts.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of complicated because there are thoughts of the heart and there are thoughts of the mind. Again, this can break down into a lot of really complicated layers of reality.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to get down to understanding who I am, remember we talked about this, about how that with the mind, you focus on something, whether a thought runs through your mind and you catch it and choose to think about it, or whether you see something with your eyes and you start thinking about it, or whether you feel something in your body and you start thinking about it. But your mind is always, it really is always a conscious decision to think about something.
Yes, yes.
And so when you put your attention on anything, then your mind actually, in coordination with your brain, it becomes a physical thing. Your mind starts actually releasing hormones, endorphins, that make you immediately start having emotions that align with whatever you're focusing your attention on.
Okay, so on a practical way, Bob and I, for the last few months, have been planning a virtual event for couples and marriages for the end of September. And it's something new, and it's something that we're trying to do with such, we put so many months of preparation and thought and strategy into this one day to make it an experience for couples. So we're going down to the deep stuff. Anyway, this is new for us, but I have to tell you, Jim, along this journey, I have had that fear of failure and that fear of the future have overwhelming feelings And then I can get fixated because it's a challenge. So I get, because we have to have challenges along the way, I could get fixated that I was listening to that channel the whole time. So if I hear you correctly, you're saying it doesn't matter what you're pursuing, because in these last few months we've been pursuing this because it's something new, right? We're pivoting our life to reach masses in a new way because we aren't going to be traveling probably as much in the next bit, right? So it doesn't matter. I happen to be pursuing this at the moment. That's just a thing in life that's happening right now. But my heart is saying, you can think that that's what you're doing right now, Audrey, but I'm really doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what you're going through. This is what your circumstances are. This is where you're putting a lot of energy. Am I hearing you right, Jim? Is that what you mean? Well, like that is happening in your life right now, but my heart is saying, this is what's really happening. You are establishing this, or you are establishing your security.
Rather than trying to answer that question directly, you know, in Proverbs, it basically says, you know, a man makes his plans.
Right.
And then, okay. And then God guides his steps. Now, right. Religious people kind of take that into fatalism, that just kind of says, you don't need to make no plans. God's in control. God's taking you where he wants
right.
to go.
Right.
Well, it's like you might want to read the rest of your Bible before you before you translate that verse that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I get from that verse is this.
Okay.
When I make a plan about anything,
mm-hmm.
God will direct my steps into the godly way to fulfill that plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I was explaining to my friend this morning. I said, "Look, I said, you know, I don't." I said, and he made the reference. He said, "Well, you know, you're one of those guys, man. You live by vision." And I said, "Well, wait a minute, but you're probably over defining and complicating that." And I said, you know, and he says, yeah, but everybody that watches you and knows you, man, you're a person of purpose and vision, da, da, da. I said, y'all just way overcomplicating this.
Yeah.
I said, you know, here's kind of like my vision. My vision is, I want to influence as many people in the world as I can the rest of my life. That's it.
Yeah.
That's about as clearly as I have it defined.
So the steps along the way and the different things that you happen to be doing in that moment or that month or whatever, those are going to change. They're going to be having new emphasis. You're going to be led to do different different processes even. But picture.
When we overplan, mm-hmm. then we end up praying. Our prayer life is us trying to force God to do something our way.
Yeah.
That might not even work.
Yes, oh my gosh, you can say that a million times over to me.
So you know, the idea is, you know, we get this sense of what we want to do, where we want to go, whatever.
Yeah.
But the real question is, can I walk with God into this? Can I trust my heart to walk into God into this, so that when I get there, it isn't necessarily specifically what I envisioned it would look like, but the outcome is what I want.
I love the freedom in that, the peace in that, the trusting God within what you just said.
Well, and that really is the whole thing. But again, so let's go back to the heart some more. I'm trying to kind of whittle down and look at this a lot of ways to where we come down to understanding kind of what it means to be in my heart and my identity in my heart, that kind of stuff. So. we talked about this last week about the fact that we're not really saying you can really completely trust your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible warns against trusting your heart because it says your heart's covered up with footprints. It's been hurt. It's been broken. You know, it's been hardened. It's been darkened. It's been corrupted. It's crooked. Well, then I realize, okay, well, then wait a minute. So, first, first and foremost, as much as I can, my general pursuit is I want to be whole. And if I want to be whole, then I'm going to be at peace. It's going to be, you know, I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be, you know, forgiving. I'm going to be merciful, you know, all these kinds of things. So, now if I'm whole in my heart, then I might momentarily in my mind when I get a bit of information get jacked up for a minute. But remember, we talked about how with the heart there's just these emotions are very shallow, very superficial. They come quick, they leave quick. But feelings which emerge from the heart are very powerful. Feelings are like a tsunami, you know. Man, they don't look like, a tsunami doesn't really look like it's powerful, but it's going to move everything. It's going to push everything in his, you know, out of his way. So feelings of the heart always really will eventually overcome thoughts of the mind. So I'm trying to figure out how to even say this. I don't even know if I know how to say this. So I start realizing that it takes effort to let my mind be in control. It takes thinking certain things. It takes going against who I really am. But see, in our heart, one of the things we know about who we are in our heart is about what kind of thoughts and feelings emerge out of my heart on an effortless basis. Do I feel worthy? Do I feel loved? Do I feel joy? Do I feel peace? Or do I always find myself trying to create circumstances so that I emotionally feel those things? So many people learn how to manipulate external situations, conversations, you know, all of those kinds of things, so that what they do is they create a simulated external environment.
Yes, to help them feel just a little bit safe, a little bit assured. Yeah. Yes.
But if we have peace in our heart, then the real truth is we just don't get moved very much by these things that happen out here.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't have to subconsciously create an environment that'll make sure that I feel that way, because it's actually established. Yeah. Like that is already there is no question within that. So there's no reason to have to get evidence. We're not under the judge and jury. That's already decided.
So, you know, just like this guy in Proverbs 23, that in that case, he was deliberately being manipulative. He was deliberately doing all of these nice things, but the real truth is that ain't who he was. So there's conflict between the external expression of who he is and the internal sense of who he is. And so when you have conflict between the external expression, you know, I used to just get so aggravated at myself because, man, I would get upset with somebody and I'd be jacked up, man. I am ready to just rip their head off, you know, because they've done something unkind and some blunder. They've hurt people. And, man, I would be ready just to rip them to shreds, you know. And then I would sit down with them and I would immediately go compassionate. And I'd be thinking, I don't want to be compassionate. I want to rip this guy's eyeballs out.
Right. Why am I being so nice right now?
Yeah. And so, you know, I actually had a few staff members saying, you know, you're so wishy-washy. And I said, what do you mean? I'm not wishy-washy. They said, yeah, you are. You'll say you're going to do this thing, and then you end up doing something else. I said, well, let me ask you this. If I did what I said I was going to do, would that be godly? Or if I did what I ended up doing, would that be godly? And it's like, well, I really, doing what you did was the godly thing. So I started realizing that I had this mindset, because remember, you know, my greatest thing growing up was anger. That anger, violence, you know, attack, you know, that was one of the ways that you survived in my environment. But as my heart began to change, even though I'd get in a situation and I would look at it and mentally, I would have these emotions and I'm ripping this guy's head off. And then I would get in the situation in my heart, it'd be like, I would want to be merciful. I'd want to be compassionate. I'd want to be kind. And so I started realizing that I was feeding a false sense of who I was when I was giving into this, all these emotions. But thank God, when I would get into the situation, my heart
took over.
would be more powerful than the thoughts of mine. As a matter of fact, you know, they've actually, I can't remember if it was what organization it was. What is that? Their heart something. Organization does all that study on the heart.
Sorry, I'm not helping you. I don't know.
Oh, what is it? Anyhow, you know, the electromagnetic influence on your entire being is I think it's about 300 times stronger to have a belief or a feeling from the heart than it is to have a thought and an emotion from your mind.
Yeah. And so, you told us years and years ago that it was 5,000. So it was 5,000.
Might be. Yeah. I'm just trying to be conservative. I always like to be a little more conservative. So.
Don't ask Audrey.
I'm
fine with getting corrected on it.
But you know how I love to exaggerate and make things super dramatic.
You know, when I'm trying to remember a statistic and I can't, I will always under.
Right. Well, that would be the opposite of me, Jim. Because I say, it's a million. It must be a million. Yeah.
So you know, you stop and think, and sometimes the road can be reversed. You know, sometimes outwardly you're saying, okay, you know, I'm going to be merciful and I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be forgiving. And man, then you get there and suddenly you go all
you lose
unraveled.
Your mind. Yeah. You know what? I was just thinking that. I said, what you just said, that story about how come I'm so being so kind, the opposite happens as well, where you're actually thinking, oh, I'm going to be forgiving because I've decided to forgive. Yeah. But then you get in the moment, you see that person's face, and then all of a sudden all this rage comes up.
So what you kind of start realizing is when there is these two conflicting senses of what you're going to do. You mean people say, well, see, you know, when you get saved, you know, there's two dogs and they're fighting. I've heard that story, right?
Yeah.
You know, two dogs and they're fighting because you're not really made right. No, it's just, the battle is between your heart and your mind, between your beliefs and your mind. And so you start realizing when there's incongruence between what I want to do and say I'm going to do, I feel like I'm going, you know, my emotions are saying I'm going to do, and then I do something different, then there's incongruence between the way I think and the way I really, really believe. And so at the end of the day, you get a better understanding of who you are by what happens effortlessly than by what happens through conscious effort.
Right.
Because conscious effort is always about your mind and your emotions. Mm-hmm.
See, that bottom line, and this is a really good self-reflection and to commune with God about this. I'm thinking of our listeners. Just think about your own life. Like, what happens effortlessly when you're not trying? Because that is a great indicator of what's truly going on in the beliefs of your heart.
Oh, absolutely. And so we want to be at that place, and what we want to develop in our life is we want to develop where the what always wins out is going toward love, going toward compassion, going toward kindness. And, you know, you don't condemn yourself because of the conflict, but you just kind of wake up and go, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, there are two voices speaking in me. Mm-hmm. It's not the devil and God. Mm-mm. It's my heart and my mind.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, I mean, don't over scrutinize.
You don't want to get all
yourself.
No,
you don't make this hard. But you know, sometimes you're like, okay, am I genuine right now in my kindness? Am mm-hmm. I genuine right now in my support or my compliments? Am I, you know, is this genuine, or is this something I'm making myself say for a benefit or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the thought that people would say, well, you're just faking it till you make it. Just fake it till you make it, you know, kind of attitude, you know, that some people take.
Well, you know something? There is nothing wrong with behavior modification. You know, when you realize my behavior would be hurtful.
Right.
And the honest truth is, I don't care. But you know what? That's not the person I want to be. So even though in my heart I might be angry at this person, even though in my heart I know I really am struggling with this, then I am going to choose to be kind, and I am going to, you know, in my heart turn to the Lord and I ask for strength to do this. So, you know, fake it till you make it, according to how you define it. But if you define it by saying, yeah, I am actually putting forth effort to do, to walk in love, to be kind. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I'm going to make the journey.
Yeah.
And it really comes back to the place of the truth of my identity. Oh. And so going back to the analogy of a tree and its fruit, and I might just simply be a young tree.
Yep.
And I am growing and maturing, and I might be speaking or putting effort to have the expression that I want, but ultimately it will come naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there is this growth process, and I may have just been living far too long out of the intellect or strength of my mind, yeah. You know, and being, you know, thrown to and fro, yeah. You know, with all of my emotions. And it's just like I'm maturing and I'm growing into this place, you know, of authenticity. You know, you ask a question, am I being authentic, you know, authentically kind?
Yeah.
And people would like to say, oh, boy, I don't know. Am I not? And it's and it's like, wait, don't go into this place of self-condemnation. Judgment.
No,
right.
No.
And it's
well, they know. People know. Yeah. You know, we play games with ourselves and make it more complicated. We know if we're genuine in what we're doing or not.
We do.
Yeah.
But you know, Bob, I love what you're saying there, Bob, though, because if you have a little one-foot apple tree,
still an apple tree.
It's not going to grow apples probably for 3 years, possibly, maybe even 5 years.
Yep.
But do we still call it an apple tree? Yeah, we do.
Still an apple.
What happens
that's
if
a good example.
What happens if it dies and gets thrown by a storm before it ever grew an apple, and we have a funeral for Brother Apple Tree? Do we still call him an apple tree, even though he never even grew apples?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's still an apple tree,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right? And anyway.
So, you know, where and the whole idea here is this. No, I think it's a great illustration. I really do.
Bob's kidding.
So now we know Johnny Appleseed was always Johnny Appleseed, right? Even though every now and then he planted a pear tree. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Are we getting this right?
What are you thinking, Bob?
No. But anyhow, you know, so we want to become who we are in Jesus in our heart, mm-hmm. not just in our minds, not just doctrinally, not just something that is real when we think about it, not something that just controls our behavior when we're thinking about it and putting forth effort.
Right, right.
And so, you know, next week we will get into the next part of that verse because, man, there are some golden nuggets in that verse as he thinks in his heart, so is he, that really give incredible insight into really the fundamentals of riding on your heart or changing your heart or what's going to happen in your heart. Because where we want to get to is we want to get to a place to where we can recognize the voice of God in our heart. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, we are at a place where we can trust our heart, where our heart's not going to lead us into crazy things. Remember, Jesus said, you know, murder, theft, idolatry, all this stuff comes from your heart.
Yeah.
So if I don't get my heart whole through the love of God, then I can be one of these religious fanatics that can justify stealing from somebody because they're not a Christian, or I can justify lying to somebody because, you know, for some goofy spiritual reason. So, you know, this week we're just saying, do you know who you are in your heart? Mm-hmm. And can you know that without condemning yourself? Can you be like Audrey said, so you know what? I may not have any fruit yet, but I am an apple tree. You know, I am making this journey. I am growing.
And I am a person who loves and has peace in my heart, mm-hmm. who's approved. And
I might not even have that. That might be technically who I am, but if I don't have the fruit of it, I'm not enjoying that emotion. There's nothing in me bearing witness to that. It's just something that I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we just have to admit, you know, I'm still a jerk as far as how I feel and how my emotions are, but I also know that the reality is that in Christ, then I am these things. And so you start bringing that in. And see, with confession, most people in what they would call confession or positive affirmations, only about 15% of the people that do positive affirmations or confessions actually benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And actually, the other 85% get worse or get no benefit at all.
Right, right.
Because you can't make positive affirmations and positive confessions and have a sense that you're lying and it affect you positively.
Right.
So you just have to have this sense of this is who I really am in Christ.
In the very depths of who I am, yeah. This is my true identity.
Right. But I'm not bearing fruit, and I can own that.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, when one of the big battles that the fake grace people have is about confessing sin, and we've talked about this a lot. But you know, in 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And because, you know, they have to make everything say something. You know what I mean? So they have to make everything say that, you know, you don't have to confess sin. You know, everything's fixed because of Jesus. Well, nothing, everything's real because of Jesus, but it's not really yours if it's not real in your own heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the word confess is a compound word. It means to say the same thing, but it also means logos. So it's saying, a confession is to say the same thing that the logos says. And the logos, so confessing something means I'm going to say about it what God says. Now, so if I know who I am in Jesus informationally, but that's not what I'm feeling and experiencing, then it's not real in my heart. I don't really believe it in my heart. I believe it in my mind, but I don't really believe it in my heart. But so the point is, I'm going to say this, and this is where you kind of get into a meditative prayer life of bringing this alive. And we're going to talk next week about how you open the door to your heart and make it possible to bring a new sense of yourself in. Good. But the key is, do you really know your heart? Which way will you go when your back is against the wall? When you're being threatened, what's gonna come out of you? You know, in our next Ultimate Impact workshop, you know, we're gonna be talking a lot about self-control. And you know, self-control is a real revealer of what you really believe in your heart, because self-control, I mean, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking about carnal willpower, but you know, self-control is like, okay, I'm put in this situation, what's going to come out of my heart?
Yeah. I love that. I hope that any of you, if you're interested in Ultimate Impact, you know, that amazing 3-month journey of really being involved with like-minded people who are all on this journey together, you know, go to Impact Ministries and find that link and start joining up.
Or they can go through your website and get to the link.
Right. Good. Right.
Okay. Yep. So when the squeeze comes on, what's going to come out?
What comes out. Yep.
There we go. Good.
Jim, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
It's been such a great episode. And thank you, listeners, for taking this journey with us. Some of you might want to listen to this again. I know that I made notes for my own personal self of things I want to apply to my life. And that's when the true exciting transformation happens, is when you turn off the podcast and now you commune with Jesus and say, okay, now how does this apply for me? Yep. What areas of my life, you know, are effortless for me that I just have absolutely established in my heart? And what areas are more like, I want to make that confession? Or the first thing you started with, Jim, just to remind everyone, was when you repented for being broke. Yep. You can repent because that's just changing your thinking and saying, no, it's not just about sin. It's about, I'm not experiencing the fullness of heaven and on earth in this area. So I repent for that, because Jesus, you really did do that work on the cross.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things we have to realize, and you said it, but I want to say again, fruit is a growth process.
Yes.
You know, I'm going down the river in my boat, and I come to a fork in the river, and I suddenly realize, you know what, I've taken the wrong fork. Well, you know, just because I realize that, there's still a process of getting back on track, and that's the whole renewing your mind thing. And then I still then have to continue my journey down the right track to reach the destination.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we want magic. We just want to snap our fingers and everything be fixed, you know?
Yeah.
That really helped me. Thanks for saying that.
All right, good. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week. And be sure to look for the upcoming events, lovemarriedlife.com, Audrey and I, on September 26th, and then coming up in October.
Oh, and just for that one really quick, and use the promo code PODCAST30 to get a $30 discount on live virtual event. Just use PODCAST30, and you'll get that $30 discount. And tell all your couple friends. I mean, Canadians, you really just have the next couple days for us to ship you the gift box. But Americans, U.S. people, you can keep registering for that. And then, Bob, the October event. Oh, the October event is at Impact Ministries in Huntsville. Is that going to be a virtual event? I don't know for sure yet.
We don't know. It's just
we don't know yet.
It's going to be according to how much control they're trying to take over us at that point in time.
But I will tell you that it's October 16, 17, 18, that whole weekend or something like that.
So it'll be the third weekend in October.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier this year because I put it on my calendar. And I thought it was like the 17th or something like that. Let me tell you guys.
Let me look and see.
Yeah, 16, 17, 18.
It is that right?
That's the third weekend in October. Okay. Yeah.
If that's the third week, then that's when it is.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that Heart Physics weekend. And this whole series we're doing is in preparation for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Good. All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Bye-bye.